Hello, this is Reverend Leslie speaking. Welcome to our audio service for this weekend. And we're going to be thinking about our environment in this service. And I have what I'm calling a creation service for you to contemplate and think about. So because we're going to be thinking about the outside and nature and the lovely world that we are living in, maybe if it's not nice weather, and of course we've had lots of rain, but maybe if it's not so much nice weather, maybe you could find a postcard of a favourite scene or just a nice photograph of a piece of nature. You might even find something on your laptop that you could gaze at as we're going through this service. And obviously, there will be some readings from scripture, a little bit of poetry as well, and some liturgy for you to reflect on. So I'm going to begin the service with a moment of quietness. Maybe just gaze at that photograph or picture, looking out into your garden or into maybe just a lovely flower or plant that you have nearby. And just thinking about the amazing world that we live in. God in Christ has revealed his glory. Come, let us worship. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the Lord's name is greatly to be praised. Give him praise, you servants of the Lord. O praise the name of the Lord. So we're now going to come to the confession. We confess to you, our Lord, for our lack of care, our care for the world which is diminished, the world that you have given us to care for. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We confess to you our selfishness in not sharing the earth's bounty fairly. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We confess to you our failure to protect resources for others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And may God, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So our first reading is actually taken, it's an Abba adaptation from the Genesis 1 reading and all about creation. But this has been written by a James Weldon Johnson. So I do hope that you enjoy it. And God stepped out on space and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights, down to the cypress swamp. And God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled upon one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, that's good. Then God reached out and took the light in his hands. And God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set the sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, well, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and the stars. Then, down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world. And God said, that's good. Then God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left, and the stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet. and God walked. And where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes and the lightning flashed. Oh, it was amazing. He clapped his hands and the thunders rolled and the waters above the earth came down and cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed and the pine tree pointed his fingers to the sky and the oak spread out his arms and the lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground. The rivers ran down to the sea and God smiled again. And a rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land. And he said, "Bring forth, bring forth." And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's good." Then God walked around, and God looked around. He looked around on all that he had made. He looked at the sun, then he looked at the moon, and then he looked at those little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things, and God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down and on the side of the hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands, and God thought and he thought and he thought. He thought until he said, "I'll make me a man." And up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay. And by the bank of the river, he knelt him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corners of the night, who founded and rounded the earth in the middle of his hand. This great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, knelt down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. So, of course, this is a wonderful way of retelling the creation story. And did you know that the creation story in the Bible, there are probably over 100 different stories told very similar to the creation story, but they're told in different cultures, in different religions. It's amazing how we've all come up with that concept back all those thousands of years ago of trying to understand how creation happened and where was God involved. And of course, even if we don't really appreciate that maybe the creation story happened in those 6 days and then God rested on the seventh day, we do understand that God is very much part of our world and he was very much part of all that was created. And that idea of God making us out of a little mound of clay, I don't know if any of you have ever thrown a pot, as in not thrown it against a wall, but thrown it on a wheel and created a pot out of clay, or just taken a piece of clay and pressed your thumbprint into it. Just imagine what that is like, what that would have been like. So I'm now going to read another reading to you. But just take a moment to be quiet and silent before I do. Just reflect on the reading that you've just heard. Now I'm going to read to you another sort of reading or poem by a gentleman called David Levison. David Levison actually was a member of the Episcopal Church in Scotland, and he was also a missionary in that time as well. And he was actually, I think, born in 1912. So when you listen to the words of this poem, it'd be quite interesting to think that, you know, someone was thinking like this back in 1912, time of, you know, sort of the First World War even. And also, just an added little bit of interest, David Levison's daughter, Mary, she became the first woman to be ordained in the Episcopal Church or Church of Scotland. So just an interesting little fact for you there as well. So this poem is called A New Green Dawn. God wisely chose the colour green for shade of forests and grass. The rice also of the east and the wheat of the west in youth in green before turning to the harvest. Green is the ocean under cloud-swept skies, and all this colour softly rests upon human eyes. But suddenly the green is fading, and the forest black with scorching fire, and land eroded and turned to dust, the lakes lying still and dead with acid rain. Fish die, birds fall from the sky, and precious species, plants, beasts are gone, save in natural history books. Lord, teach us to touch your world with more delicate hands. Contain our greed and stir respect and open our eyes to see all things as sacred. All things are yours. Bring us a new green dawn. So we have just one more reading. Isn't that a lovely reading? Thinking about, you know, the environment, even back many, many years ago, and thinking about how we can care and how we can ask God to help us understand, teach us how to look after God's world. And we'll think about that a little bit more in the service and in my talk in a moment. But now we're going to look at a reading from Scripture. And this was written by Paul to the Colossians. And I'm going to read from chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. And this is actually describing who God is, who Jesus Christ is. And Paul is wanting us to really understand who he is to us. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood. His blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I want us to think a little bit about our environment and our community here in North Nibley and in St Mary's over in Wootton, and also Alderley in Tresham, and anyone else who's tuning in. Have a look around your community and think about the ways that you are helping with the environment. Over at St Mary's in Wootton, for the church, we've got an eco-church team, and they get together on a very regular basis and work out how we can make our churchyards and the environment around the church as environmentally friendly as possible. And we plant lots of special flowers so that there are lots of seeds and so on for the birds to feed on, and put bug houses and so forth. And the same in Nibley. There's some lovely parts of Nibley churchyard around the church, which is not mown on a regular basis, so that, you know, it's time and opportunity for insects to find their space there. And of course, there's the occasional bat that flies round a church if you're lucky. So we all try to do our bit. And maybe even in our own gardens, think about, you know, creating spaces for wildlife, putting a little hole in the fence so that hedgehogs can get through rather than being sort of trapped within one space. But the first reading that we heard was about that creation story, and it was so beautifully written, a story that helps us understand that God created the world for us to live in. But the idea was that we lived in the world with God. And what have we done? Well, often we end up shutting God out. And of course, everyone will have opinion on this, but actually, have we actually spoiled the gift that God has given us? God gave us this special gift, and we have taken it like a toy that we have been given at Christmas, on Christmas Day. And within a matter of days or weeks, that toy is destroyed. What are we doing with the world? Are we treating it like a toy that can just be played with and then thrown away? Our reading from Colossians was a letter written to the people who were also moving away from Jesus' teachings. You see, we're all very easily distracted. When this letter was written, Jesus was not a man that had lived thousands of years before on earth. Jesus was still very prevalent in people's minds. His teachings had not been ruminated over for generations, and yet the people of Colossus had already bent the truth about Jesus Christ. In the church of Colossus, where the teachings, there were even teachings that were attacking the truth of the gospel, and they were saying that Christ was actually not God, and that further revelation was needed for us to get our salvation. And that was written probably about 61 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So no time at all, and people already straying. So Paul is reminding them what Jesus taught. He is reminding us that for us to return to God, we must be reconciled. And reconciliation doesn't mean just speaking the words of the confession like we can do in our services every week. It actually means doing much more than that. It means that we have to act upon our words. Our world is a broken place. Not only has humanity damaged our ecosystem to such a point that we're on the verge of it being impossible to reverse, but we have also damaged our personal relationship with God by choosing the things of this world over the kingdom of God. And to add to all that doom and gloom, we also have damaged the kingdom of God in doing it, as it is today, because even there, things are not perfect, because God is hurting, and he's hurting because of our recklessness and our greed. So even the kingdom of God has been marred. One of the most critical things for us to do in this year, 2026, and going forward, is to accept that we are part of a damaged world, a world that we have been instrumental in damaging. And ignorance is just not good enough to set us right with God. We each have a responsibility. It's a tough one to accept, but that's how it is. And reconciliation is the only way. And how do we reconcile ourselves with God? Well, saying sorry is always a very good start, that little word, and we always find it very difficult to say to each other, let alone to God, which is why our services hold a confession within them. But action is needed as well as the words, as I said. Every action we make should be done with God in mind, the creation in mind. The first verse of the reading of Colossians said this, and through him in to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. All things, whether things of earth or things of heaven, as Christians we look to the cross and we believe that Christ died for our sins. Yet we as humanity continue to do awful and hurtful things in the sight of God. And the greatest of these is turning our backs on him. When we face the cross and accept Jesus as our Saviour, that's just the beginning. It's then that the work really begins. He tells us that we must make peace through his blood. Peace with him, peace with ourselves, peace with our neighbours, peace with our world. I do not believe that it is too late for us to make peace with the world and to reconcile ourselves. And one of the things many people do not understand about heaven is that there is a current heaven where God dwells, and that one day he will create a new heaven and a new earth. Do you remember that reading in Revelation 21? And it goes like this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And that's in the Bible. That's what we are told will happen. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. But that doesn't mean that we allow the one that God has given us to share with him is allowed to be desecrated and lost. We to make things good. Amen. We're now going to say a creed. Obviously, you will have to listen to the creed, but think about the words and the responses as I say this. This we know, the earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. This we know, all things are connected, like the blood which unites one family. For we did not weave the web of life, we are merely a strand of it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. With the whole church, we affirm that we are made in God's image, befriended by Christ, empowered by the Spirit. With people everywhere, we affirm God's goodness at the heart of humanity, planted more deeply than all that is wrong. With all creation, we celebrate the miracle and wonders of life, the unfolding purposes of God, forever at work in ourselves and in our world. Amen. And I'm going to now say some prayers. So please sit quietly with these and allow these words to work with you. Let us pray. Holy God, earth and air and water are your creation, and every living thing belongs to you. Have mercy on us as climate change confronts us. Give us the will and the courage to simplify the way we live, to reduce the energy we use, to share the resources you provide, and to bear the cost of change. Forgive our past mistakes and send us your Spirit. Send it with wisdom, Lord, in present controversies and vision for the future to which you call us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, thank you for the gift of your creation. As we travel through our lives, may we take time to appreciate it, from each sunrise to the sunset, to celebrate the intricacies of your handiwork, admire the changing of the seasons, recognizing that this is a gift. And may we care deeply that as our climate is changing, future generations may not have this luxury of employment, that people around the world now are already suffering from climate change, and may our actions reflect a love for your world and justice for those affected. Give us a prophetic imagination for the world free from poverty and injustice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we bring our own communities before you in this service. We ask for your blessing upon us. We ask that you help us keep our eyes and ears open to how you would lead us in ensuring that we look after our world properly, carefully, and with love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also now spend a few moments of quietness holding before you, Lord, those who we love, those who are sick, those who need your loving touch in their lives today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we'll say the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And I'm going to read an adaptation of Psalm 145. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. There is no end to his greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power. All creation praises you, Lord, and your faithful servants bless you. They declare the glory of your kingdom and tell of your mighty power. My mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord, and let every living thing bless his holy name. Amen. Before I bring this audio service to a close, I'm going to read to you some words of wisdom which were taken from One World Week a few years ago now, but still very current. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to imagine that we are going to shrink the world's population, the whole world, into one village of 100 people. And this is going to bear relation to the existing human ratios in our world today. So if the whole world was just 100 people, that village would have 61 Asians, 12 Europeans, 13 North or South Americans, 13 Africans, and one from Oceania. There would be 51 females and 49 males. 70 would be non-white, 30 white. 70 would be non-Christian, 30 would be Christian. 50% of the village's wealth would be in the hands of just 6 people. All of them would be North Americans. 80 villagers would live in substandard housing. 70 villagers would be unable to read, while 50 would suffer from malnutrition. One villager would have a college education, just 1 out of 100. Statistics are used by many international aid organisations, but it just gives you an idea of what we would look like if we were a global village. Oh God, you are one. Make us one. Amen. So take those ratios away with you, those statistics away with you, and think how that affects you, you know, in your understanding of who we are in this greater world that God loves. Loves us, loves all his people. How can we play a more active part in that? And I'll finish with a blessing. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Have a wonderful weekend and into next week. God bless you all. Bye-bye.